Welcome to the weekend and welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee Renfro and I am the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. And I would say usually I'm excited to jump into our scripture today, but I am excited to be on the Drivecast here with you. But our scripture from John 19 today is really one of the saddest scriptures, right? Because we're going to look at, if you've been following along this week, how Jesus has been crucified. He has hung on the cross to pay for our sins. And now it's in what happens next moment that's there. And so our next steps, our writing team has done an incredible job putting together some great devotional content, pulling out incredible insights and some great reflection questions that are there. So if you aren't following along or jumping into those, man, I couldn't encourage you more highly enough to do that. They're doing a fantastic job. And hopefully you've benefited as much as I have of going through the Gospel of John so far this summer. It has been rich in terms of theological content. It has been practical in terms of helping us really discern how can we keep walking and following and believing in Jesus and growing stronger in our faith. So it's just been a great blessing, and hopefully you've enjoyed that as well. And so, but let me read from John chapter 19. Let me read verses 38 through 42, and got a couple of things that to point out, and I would love for us to have some time just to pray in light of our passage here. But John 19, John writes these. He says, "After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus." Just think about that there for just a moment, that Jesus, fully God, fully man, had to endure the full penalty of our sin, and he died. There are some religions that would point out and say that Jesus merely swooned on the cross, or he was, in essence, unconscious, but wasn't dead. But it's scriptures like these that really show us the fact that God put on human flesh, that the Son endured the Father's wrath, and Jesus died. He took the penalty of our sin. The wages of sin is death, and he died. So he took away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body, that Jesus was dead. Verse 39, "But Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus again and bound it in linen cloths with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now is the place where he was crucified. There was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there." And so we see right here just the significance that Jesus really died, that they went about the burial customs of covering him in spices and wrapping him in cloths, and laying him in a tomb. And a lot of this was to fulfill the scripture, a rich man's tomb, a tomb that no one had laid in. These, again, things that Jesus alive had no control over, right? He's dead. He does not determine where they are buried him or the circumstances by which that happened. But all of this is a part of the providential hand and plan of God to bring about our salvation. How intentionality, even from his birth to his death, did Jesus fulfill what the scriptures had told us and put to? But one of the things I just want to draw out here is what's interesting is Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus are the two people named here that go and take Jesus' body away. Where are those who have been with him the longest, who were his closest followers? They've deserted him. They've, out of fear, their leader has been crucified. To be associated with Jesus likely meant they would be arrested and delivered and could face the same fate as he would. And to me, it's just this reminder that we can have the most fervent of faith, and yet in the midst of fear of those around us, we can shrink back and hide. And yet in the midst of this, these two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who were disciples of Jesus secretly because of the fear of the Jews. So they weren't out in public like the other disciples, but yet they still stepped out in courage to do what was right, that somebody had to take care of the body of Jesus. Somebody had to honor him, honor his death, and to lay him aside, and to do all of those things. And these men, in the midst of fear and uncertainty, weren't sure how that may be accepted, stepped out to do something like that. And just to, for us as a potential takeaway in thinking through that, that there are going to be these times and these moments in our lives, and especially in our faith, where we are tempted to shrink back. We are tempted to allow fear to determine the outcome of what we sense and feel like God is calling us to do. And yet in the midst of this, we see here that to step out in courage is to honor God. And so my encouragement to you today is to think about, you know, what steps do you feel like God is leading you to take? Is there someone the Lord's putting on your heart to begin to disciple, to get together with, to meet and talk over scriptures? Or is there somebody that the Lord is telling you, hey, just start talking about your faith with this person? Perhaps there's an area in your life you need help, but you are afraid. What are they going to think of me? And rather than allowing fear to be the loudest voice that keeps you from experiencing the life and the vibrancy that God has for you, to step out into that. You see, we're meant to live in the light, not in darkness. And darkness was where the disciples ran. It's where they were hiding. And so just to encourage you to step out in faith, trusting in the Lord, that we are not a people of fear. Paul told Timothy, God did not give you a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. So what steps do you sense God is calling you to take? And to think about how you could ask the Lord to begin to show you opportunities that you can serve him and his kingdom in the same way that Joseph and Nicodemus honored the Lord and served the kingdom of God by meeting a real tangible need. What are some needs that you could potentially step into that would be a great blessing to his kingdom? So let's just take a few moments and let's take some time to pray. Thanks for being a part of this. And I hope that your heart's been encouraged. And I'm grateful that while they lay Jesus in this tomb, he ain't going to stay there long. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thanks for Joseph and Nicodemus here, God, for meeting this need. Thank you for their courage, for stepping out, God. And I pray, Lord, that even while they were afraid, they didn't allow that fear to keep them from stepping out, God, and doing what was the right thing here. And so, God, whatever it is that maybe we're wrestling with, or the right next step that we may feel that you're calling us to do, help us to have faith and to trust you, to be bold, and God, not allow fear to hold us back from stepping into the beautiful realities that you have for us. Thanks for your goodness, Lord. We love you. Thank you for Jesus, for the weight that he took of our sin upon the cross, that he really did die, which means that my sin really has been paid for. And Lord, as we read here in a few days, God, we're going to see how Jesus got up out of that grave, defeating death, defeating my sin, that it truly has been paid for, that it is finished. And that is a great hope that we are grateful for today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, why don't you take a few moments and why don't you pray? To shrink back, we are tempted to allow fear to determine the outcome of what we sense and feel like God is calling us to do. And yet in the midst of this, we see here that to step out in courage is to honor God. And so my encouragement to you today is to think about, you know, what steps do you feel like God is leading you to take? Is there someone the Lord's putting on your heart to begin to disciple, to get together with, to meet and talk over scriptures? Or is there somebody that the Lord is telling you, hey, just start talking about your faith with this person? Perhaps there's an area in your life you need help, but you are afraid. What are they going to think of me? And rather than allowing fear to be the loudest voice that keeps you from experiencing the life and the vibrancy that God has for you, to step out into that. You see, we're meant to live in the light, not in darkness. And darkness was where the disciples ran. It's where they were hiding. And so just to encourage you to step out in faith, trusting in the Lord, that we are not a people of fear. Paul told Timothy, God did not give you a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. So what steps do you sense God is calling you to take? And to think about how you could ask the Lord to begin to show you opportunities that you can serve him and his kingdom in the same way that Joseph and Nicodemus honored the Lord and served the kingdom of God by meeting a real tangible need. What are some needs that you could potentially step into that would be a great blessing to his kingdom? So let's just take a few moments and let's take some time to pray. Thanks for being a part of this, and I hope that your heart's been encouraged. And I'm grateful that while they lay Jesus in this tomb, he ain't gonna stay there long. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thanks for Joseph and Nicodemus here, God, for meeting this need. Thank you for their courage, for stepping out. God, and I pray, Lord, that even while they were afraid, they didn't allow that fear to keep them from stepping out, God, and doing what was the right thing here. And so, God, whatever it is that maybe we're wrestling with, or the right next step that we may feel that you're calling us to do, help us to have faith and to trust you, to be bold, and God, not allow fear to hold us back from stepping into the beautiful realities that you have for us. Thanks for your goodness, Lord. We love you. Thank you for Jesus, for the weight that he took of our sin upon the cross, that he really did die, which means that my sin really has been paid for. And Lord, as we read here in a few days, God, we're going to see how Jesus got up out of that grave, defeating death, defeating my sin, that it truly has been paid for, that it is finished. And that is a great hope that we are grateful for today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, why don't you take a few moments and why don't you pray?